Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Of course, we're going right on through the book of Hebrews, and we kind of, in Hebrews 11, we're stopping and seeing some great things. This powerful book, of course, was written to Jewish believers, first century. The purpose of the letter was to turn these believers back to God. What had happened? Persecution came. They turned away, went back under the Mosaic law, and of course, the goal is to turn them back. As we move to chapter 11, which is what we've been in for several weeks, we've come to what is often called the Hall of Fame of Faith chapter, men and women who took God at His word. The goal, of course, is that these believers would look at this, be encouraged by this, and turn back to God. And as we study this, the goal for our own lives is that we also would be encouraged as we study this and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. The author of Hebrews has taken us from the beginning of the Bible to the old aspect of creation, to Abel, to Enoch, to Noah, through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then for the last few weeks, we've been looking at Moses and the Exodus. Well, this evening, He's taken us to the promised land. That's what's going to happen. All of these are acts by faith, events where men and women trusted God, and that's what we want to see. This evening, a famous event. Of course, I guess we could say that everything in Hebrews 11 ultimately is pretty famous because it keeps going back to these big events. But this is taking the city of Jericho. We see Joshua fights the battle of Jericho when the walls fall down. And as we see this passage, there's some truths that I want you to think about, especially this. This is the key, I think, as you look at it. God's ways are different than the world's ways. God always does different than we would have done it. In fact, tonight as we look at the passage, we're going to see two different things. We're going to see God's way is different, first in fighting the battles of life. God's ways are different than our ways. And in even the way of salvation, God's way is different than what we would think. So there's some great things, and we'll see it as we go through it. And we're going to be looking at verses 30 and 31 tonight as we go in, of course, through Hebrews 11. And we're almost through with Hebrews 11. It'll go pretty quickly in the next couple of weeks. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great night. Thank you for each one that is here, for just the fun time we can have as we come together to study the Bible and to pray and just to have a great time. Thank you for the music, and we think of those great songs. Lord, we never want to take for granted what we have in Jesus Christ, that you have given to us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He came, He died, He paid for our sins, He was buried, and He rose again, and He offers as a gift eternal life. And anyone who will believe in Him, who will trust in Him and Him alone, will have eternal life. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask you that as we look at the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 11, and we continue to see men and women who believed you, who trusted you, who did what you wanted them to do. May we be that way too, Lord. May we be men and women who take you at your word and live our lives based on the Scripture. Lord, we just ask you that you teach us tonight. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you look at God's Word, we see the character of God and the fact that He's our Savior, and as we stated earlier, that His ways are different than our ways. You remember Isaiah 55:9 says, "My ways are not your ways. As far as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways and your ways. So are my ways different than your ways." God does do things differently than we would. Think about it. Think about how He thinks. First of all, in the Bible it says, if you want to gain your life, you have to what? You have to lose it. And if you want to become great, you're going to have to become a servant. And those who humble himself will be exalted. And when I am weak, that's when I am strong. And that's different than what we think. And you know, God and man think differently. Men, they look to the outside. They look to the appearance. God always looks to the inside. It looks to the heart. Men think about things and they desire the temporal, where God says, no, what you ought to desire is the eternal. The Bible tells men to number our what? Our days. And yet God says, for God, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And then we think about mankind in a whole. We love conditionally where God loves unconditionally. So when you think about it, God is different, so different than us in the way that He thinks and His ways. As we look at the passage this evening, it's great. We're going to see two things. Verse 30 is the battle of Jericho. In fact, verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. The nation gained the victory. They trusted God. God would give the victory, but He didn't give victory the way man would have done it. It's different. And then the second thing is in verse 31 about Rahab, how she was saved from death and her family. And notice what it says, by faith, this is verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. She's going to be delivered, but not the way man would deliver her. And we'll see that as well. So God is different. His ways are different. When we're fighting the battles of life and we're thinking about salvation, God's ways are different than ours. Let's begin. We want to realize where we are. Moses has died. We've just seen these last two or three weeks that Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and he was fantastic. And we talked about passing through the Red Sea, and he trusted God. And now a good while has passed. Moses has led the people in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't trust God enough to go into the land, and a whole generation of them, or the whole generation of those people died. And now Moses has died, and Joshua is about to lead the people into the promised land. You remember what they did? It's an amazing thing. They get ready to go into the land, and they've already sent some spies, and we'll talk more about that later. But the spies come back and basically said, they're afraid of us, and it's time to go. And so what does Joshua say for them to do? How are they going to cross the Jordan River? Is at flood stage. How are they going to get across that river? What does he do? He says, the priest take the Ark of the Covenant, and they've got it, holding it like they're supposed to, and as the priest's foot steps in the water stops, becomes dry land. Do you know where the water stopped at? It's a little town. That's right. Never forget. Once you memorize it, I never forget it. It stopped at a little town called Adam. It's where the water stopped. And the entire nation went across on dry land, and right across from the river, there's Jericho. And so this is what we're about to see. Joshua is the leader. Jericho is called the City of the Palms. It's a beautiful city. It's kind of one of the main cities because it's a trade route area that people would come to Jericho and then they would go on to Jerusalem. Let me give you the outline for this little passage right here this evening. We're going to look at Hebrews 11, 30 and 31. We're calling it God's ways. We're going to see by faith there's victory in verse 30. And we're going to see two things. The wall fell after they'd circled the city seven times. Now, to be real honest, the way they captured the city would not be the way that we would say capture the city. So we're going to see that's God's way, not our way. And then we're going to see by faith there's salvation, and that's 11:31. And we're going to see Rahab. And we're in this passage, this passage is dealing with a physical deliverance for Rahab and her family, but we're going to tie it back into an eternal salvation deliverance. But we see Rahab did not perish, and they hid the spies, that kind of thing. So we'll look at that as we go through it. Okay, let's look. As we start, let me give you something here. We want to talk about two big areas, the battles of life and salvation. And I want you to think about the fact that the way God does it is different. Let's think about the battles of life. How do people deal with the battles of life? Well, what we're taught is this: you better be tough. You better stand up for yourself. It's in your strength. It's in your knowledge. If you're in trouble, you better go get a lawyer. And intimidate if you need to. Man's way is to win by power and influence, and success and victory is in our strength. But God's ways are totally different. Victory always comes through God's strength. The battle is the Lord's. When David fought Goliath, David said to Goliath, "You come with a shield and a sword, but I come in the name of the living God." Totally different. Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Him or Christ who strengthens us. It's not our strength. It's His strength. I always think of the Ephesians passage, put on the full armor of God, to put on and be strong, stands firm in the strength of the Lord. It's always God's strength. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's always His strength. Man's way says, we fight our strength. God says, no, no, I fight. It's my strength. His way, His time. There's a second issue I want to think about besides battle of life. The second one is the whole issue of salvation. We're talking about how does a human being have a relationship with God? Well, man's ways is always this way. Man says, well, you better, you know, be good and join a church and be baptized and keep on being faithful and do good deeds and try to live a good life. That's what people think. If we could go out in this community and find people on the street and just ask them, what do you think a person has to do to go to heaven? Most people are going to tell you, live a good life, keep the Ten Commandments, get baptized, go to church, something like that. That's man's way. God's way, it's a gift. It's by faith. It's not what we do. It's not what we keep doing. It's not what we promise to do. It's the fact that God says, I give you the gift of eternal life. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? If you believe in Him, He gives eternal life. It is not what we do. It is by grace we have been saved. Through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. So we see all that aspect. Now tonight, two truths in this passage. We're going to begin one with the battle, how to fight the battles of life. We're going to see God's ways are different than ours. And then we'll talk about the salvation of Rahab and how that fit together. Now, let's begin with the battle part. The victory is God's. It's not going to be His way. It's not going to be our way. It's going to be His way. The priests have just carried the Ark of the Covenant. They've come across the Jordan River on dry land, and they're outside the city of Jericho. How are they going to take take the city. It is walled up. The walls are shut. And the enemy's in there looking. They see these Jewish people on the, you know, outside. But you could look at it and say, you know, that's not going to be that easy to take. It's a walled city, and the people know we're there, and they're ready to fight us. So how are they going to take the city? Verse 30, Hebrews 11. By faith, they took the city by faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. Now, you know, we know the story, but if you just read that, you're saying to tell me that the walls of a city fell down after somebody went around them for 7 days? The answer is yes, that's exactly what happened. The walls of the city fell down after they'd been circled for 7 days. Well, what happened? You don't fight a battle by just saying, look, we're going to march around it for 7 days and then the walls will just fall down. I don't think that's happened except right here. So let's see what happened. Turn in your Bibles back to Joshua chapter 6. We want to see it. We'll go fairly quickly through it tonight, but I love these passages, and this is acts of faith. People, they did what God told them to do. Joshua chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 1. I'll give everybody just a few seconds to get back there, but it's pretty powerful when you look at the Bible. And I think what's helped me as we study the book of Hebrews, and even in these last weeks and months, especially in chapter 11, over and over, what do we keep seeing? We keep seeing people who chose to obey God and who chose to believe that whatever God told them was true. And from Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and the whole thing, all the way through David and everybody else, we didn't get to David, but all of these people, it's the same thing. They trusted God. Look what happens. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut because the sons of Israel, no one went in and no one came out. Now the people in Jericho had seen that the nation were coming. They were afraid. They hoped the walls would hold, and they had shut the gates. They had shut it all. Now let me read something to you. I don't want you to turn there. But back in chapter 2 of Joshua, this is what Rahab says to the spies about what the people are thinking. She said, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted before you. Now she's telling these guys, well, everybody here's afraid of you. We all know that God's given you this land. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. How long ago had that been? 40 years ago. They still know about the story. She says, we've heard about what God did and that what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. She said, we all know all about that. And then she says, when we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord, your God, now watch this statement, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. That's coming from a pagan woman. That's coming from a harlot who lives on the side of the wall so people can get in and out easier of her place. And so Jericho, go back to, you're in chapter 6, Jericho was tightly shut because the sons of Israel, no one went in and no one came out. They're all afraid. God's already melted their hearts. They're not going to be able to win the battle against the Jewish people because God is the one that gains the victory. God is the one that has melted the hearts. Jewish people hadn't done anything. Verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. See, the people in Jericho were known as what? Valiant warriors, you know, and he's given it all into their hand. How could they take the city? Well, you'd think, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to attack and scream and holler, and we're going to pull down the walls, and we're going to shoot up those, you know, fiery stuff, and we're going to build a siege ramp, and before you know it, we'll take this thing because they're afraid of us. But here's God's plan. You shall do this, verse 3. You shall march around the city, all of the men of war circling the city once. You shall do that for 6 days. Now what he said is this. You're going to march around the city once and come back. And then you're going to do that another day and come back. And then you're going to do it another day. You're going to do it for 6 days. Now just picture you're in Jericho and you're getting ready for battle. You don't know what they're going to do. And you see the army line up. And then you just see them going around the city and then going back to the camp. You go, what are they doing? What do they know we don't know? What are they looking for? We don't know. Then he goes on to say, also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Now, the priests are going to carry the horns. They're going to blow the horns. And it says, on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. Now, here's the plan. See, you're going to march around it once for 6 days every day. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march around it seven times. And then here's what's going to happen. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. We'll just go take the city. Now, is this the way man would do it? We would say, no, this is almost ridiculous. You're going to tell me that we're going to, as an army, march around the thing six times, you know, 6 days, and then we're going to march around it seven times, and then the priests are going to blow the trumpet, and everybody's going to shout real loud, and the walls are going to fall down, and we're going to go in and capture and kill and take the city. You're telling me that? What would the world say? The world say, no, you better protect yourself. The world says, we got to do it my way. In fact, if you told people, this is how we're going to get it, the people in the world would laugh at you. I bet you if you told the people in Jericho, you know what those people are going to do? They're just going to march around and shout, and the walls are going to fall down. The people in Jericho would say, I think we're okay after all. These people are nuts. We've got it made. They're not even going to fight us. God's way brings victory. God will do what he plans and how and when he chooses. We may spend time in our lives trying to win things world's way, but the world's way will never do it. You must trust in God and rest in him. It's always God's strength, not ours. What happened? Look at verse 6. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. Then he said to the people, go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the ark of the Lord. And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, don't let your voice be heard, not let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout, then you shall shout. Now, you recognize that there's going to be soldiers, then there's the priest blowing the horns, then the ark of the covenant, then some more soldiers, and they go march around. And he says, don't anybody say a word. Nobody can say a thing. When it's time to shout, I'll tell you when to shout. Verse 11. So he had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once, and they came back into the camp, spent the night in the camp. And as I said, and I could imagine, first of all, what do you think the nation of Israel thought? I mean, their first thought is, this is not exactly what we thought we would be doing here. I mean, we just got through defeated who? We've defeated Sihon and Og. I mean, there were battles there. They whipped them in fighting. And now it's Jericho, and God doesn't say whip them in fighting. He says, just march around the city. You don't have to say a word. Blow the trumpets, and then we're going to do that, we're going to do that, we're going to do that, and we're going to do that, and then finally I'll tell you what to do on the last day. Verse 12, Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest, and he took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of the ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. They went on continually, blew the trumpets, armed men went before them, rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus, the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. He said, just want you to make sure you got it. We did the same thing for 6 days. Watch the last day. Then on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. Only on that day, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city will be under the ban. And all that is in it belongs to the Lord. And listen to what he said. He told the people beforehand, only Rahab the harlot and all those who are with her in her house shall live because she hid the messengers whom we sent. So he says, this is what's going to happen. We're going to go in and we're going to do it. Look at verse 20. So the people shouted and the priest blew the trumpets. And when people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout and the wall fell down flat. So the people went into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Incredible. Now, we've heard the story so many times. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. That it's just a story to some. To most of us, it's just a good story. Not that it's not true. We've heard it all. Many of you have heard it all your lives. I didn't hear it all my life because I never read the Bible until I was 19. But for many of you, you said, I've heard the story of Joshua all my life and how they just went around the city and they shouted and the walls came a-tumbling down and they won. stop and think what really happened. We're talking about real city walls, armies, people looking down at them, and they're marching around never saying a word. And on that seventh day, they did seven times, and they shouted, and suddenly those walls fell down. That's unbelievable. That's not man's way, that's God's way. Verse 21, they utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. You remember that there was one person there in their family that was delivered. Verse 22 says, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has in there out as you have sworn to her. So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all that she had. And they also brought out all her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. Now in that day, by God's way, they destroyed a whole city. Not because they pulled down those walls and had these battering rams and did all the things which you'd say, well, if you're going to take a city, you're going to have to, it's going to be tough, it's going to be long, it's going to be a battle. They didn't have to do a thing for those walls to fall. They shouted and the walls came down. God gave the victory. Now, let's be honest, that's not the way we'd do it. But that's the way God did it. And sometimes in our lives we think about jobs and we say, I've got to have that and whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. And if whoever I've got to talk to and whoever I've got to call and however long, and we do everything our way instead of saying, God, it's up to you. I'm going to do the best job I can, but I'm trusting you. And you hear people saying, you know, you got to get in there in politics and you got to do whatever it takes. Trust God in your life. Trust God that He's working the events of your life. We don't have to live by the way of the world. We live by the way of the Word. And it's different sometimes. In fact, sometimes it's a lot different. And we're different than they are. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. Look what he says, because we're going to come back to something else in just a minute. But in Hebrews 11, verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. The people in Israel had to trust God. It would not be the normal way to fight. It would be God's way to fight. And they had to trust God that whatever He said to do, do it, even if it looked foolish. We're going to see in a couple of weeks. The story is so fantastic. Sometimes I just want to talk about it, even if it's not in the passage yet. It's coming in a couple of weeks. But think about Gideon and all his army, and he was fighting an army that was 10 to 20 times his army. And God said, "You got too many people." He says, "You got 33,000. That's too many. So tell a bunch of them to go home." And they said, "Anybody want to go home? Go home." Everybody went home at 10,000. And so now it's 10,000 against like 300,000 or 400,000 people. And God says, "You still got too many." And so they let a whole bunch more go home. And they just had a few, 300 when it was all over. But we would never do that. We would say, "You better get as big an army as you can get. How are we going to fight these people?" God's way is always different because it's different than the world. Well, look what we see again in verse 30. By faith, it's by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. Because those people took God at His word and God said, do it and it will happen. And they did it and it happened. Now, we're going to see something else because we're going to see Rahab. And look what we see about Rahab. It says, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Now, it's by faith. Once again, it's not how the world would do it. God's ways are different. By faith, she didn't die after she welcomed the spies. I want you to see that. Turn back to Joshua chapter 2. It's a little bit different order. The writer of the Hebrews gives it a little bit differently. But Joshua chapter 2, we already saw when we read chapter 6 a while ago, her deliverance of how the spies went in and saved her and her family. But let's look and see what we see in this passage right here. Look at Joshua chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men of spies, secretly from Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Why Jericho? Why go view the land, especially Jericho? First big city they got to take. What was the second city? You may remember? Ai. A little city. So they said, check it out, and especially look at Jericho, because that's the first place we got to go first. So they went, and it's amazing because James chapter 2 tells us that this woman believed in the God of Israel And the reason she hid the spies is she knew that there was the God of Israel. She believed in the God of Israel. She did not want to die. She did not want her family to die. And she believed that the God of Israel was the true God and that he would save them and save her. And so she says to those spies, she hides them and then says to them, please deliver me. Get me out of here because I believe about your God. Watch what it says. Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and they came to this house of Rahab, of a harlot whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there. Now, that's what they said. Now, here's what happens. They talked to her and all of this, and look at verse 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. Now, people are trying to find them, and she's hid them in her house. Her life is at stake, by the way. If those soldiers of Jericho would have come in and found those spies, that she'd hit them, they'd have killed her just like that. But she hit them. And here's what she says to them. Before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, verse 9, I know the Lord has given you the land. There's no doubt about it. We saw these verses a while ago. The Lord has given you the land. The terror of you have fallen on us. All the inhabitants of the land have melted away. We heard about your God. Remember the verses I read a while ago, how he dried up the Red Sea and all this. And then look at verse 11. When we heard it, our hearts melted. No courage remained in any man. Why? Because the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, in that day and time, the people who lived in the land, what was the name of these people? They were called the what? The overall view. They were called the what? Do you remember? The Amorites. They were called Amorites, but they were all different tribes, like the Hittites and the people who lived in Jericho and the Zebulites. You know, they had all different kind of names, but as a whole, they were called the Amorites. Those people groups worshipped gods, a bunch of different gods, and they worshipped what was called local gods. Do you remember when the Philistines fought the Israelites once they got in the land? Philistines worshipped local gods, not big gods. And so they were always upset about the God of Israel because the God of Israel seemed to have precedent over everywhere where their gods would only deal in little sections. So here's this lady saying, she goes, if you would have asked her, what about your gods? She would say, well, the gods of Jericho, they're pretty much gods of Jericho. I mean, you don't want to go too far away from Jericho because they're not very big gods. I mean, that's how they looked at it. And look what she says. She says, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She's saying, your God is the real God. He's the God of everything, not just Jericho, not just certain cities. We have heard about your God, and what she's actually saying, I believe your God is the true God. She's believing. And then she says, now, therefore, please swear to me by the Lord. And look at the name that she uses. Now, I didn't bring it out a while ago. In verse 11 and in verse 12, how does she call God? What is the name that she uses? It's L-O-R-D, all what? All capitals. She is calling God by his personal name. It's YHWH in Hebrew, which is the personal name of God. She's calling him by that name. Therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, Yahweh, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you would also deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth. And here's what she wants them to do. Spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. She wanted to be saved. How could this happen? Well, how would man save them? What man would do is say, get out while you can. Get all your family and get out of town, right? Because we're going to come destroy the city. That's not what they tell them to do. Here's a different plan, verse 18. Actually, verse 17, the men say to her, we shall be free from the souls to which you swear to you, unless, here's what I want you to do. When we come into this land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down and gather to yourself into this house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your family's father's household. It shall come to pass that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in this house, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And then she said, look at verse 21. She said, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. She didn't leave. Couldn't she have said, let me get all my family, and when y'all leave, I'll leave with you. I'll get back over and cross over, and I'll be in the safe place. She's not going to a place of safety. At least it doesn't look like it. But his way, God's way, is stay in the room, put a scarlet cord in the window. Why? What's the scarlet cord for? So they could what? Exactly. They're going to know which house, which place. And she did it. And as we read a while ago in chapter 6, they came in. They went straight to her house. The two spies, they knew exactly where she lived. They didn't take any chances and send anybody else. The two spies went right to the house. And who was in that house? Her mother and her father and her brothers and all of the relatives, everybody. And you can just see them all in there going, I wish they'd hurry up and come on. And sure enough, they came in and got every one of them out. By faith, Rahab was delivered from death. Back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Realize that she was saved by her faith in the God of Israel, not what she would do. She had to wait in the room. And you know, salvation, God's way is always that. It is not based on what we do. It is based on what God does. And I think about, just this is a physical deliverance, but think about eternal life deliverance. It is not based on what you do. I think the hardest concept for human beings to understand is that salvation is not earned in any way, shape, or form. It is not our faithfulness. It is not our goodness. It is not our righteousness. It is not a religious activity. It is not anything we do. We're at the mercy of God, and God in His grace has already provided salvation for us, and He offers it as a gift through Jesus Christ. And we receive the gift. It is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, and it is not what we do. I've said many times, the lie of the devil, I call it that way because it's the fallen world system. Lie, it is this, do good and God will love you. It is, first of all, you can't do good and God already loves you. And He is the greatest God. He is the almighty creator of all things. And His salvation is a gift and not by works. We hear it a lot. All of you that come to this church know we hold to the grace message. But if you begin to ask other people, you will be surprised how many people do not hold to a grace message, do not even understand it. They may say it's by grace through faith, but when you ask them what must a person do, they have things that people have to do or keep on doing in order to be saved. It is simply by grace through faith, plus nothing. God is the Savior. We are not. And man, and God's salvation is not what we would do. It's what He does. It's powerful. Well, we've talked about two things. We've talked the battles of life. It's not our power. It's not our intelligence. It's not our plan. It's God's. It's a walk of faith. How are we going to live in the battles of life? It is a walk of faith as we receive Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk in Him, Colossians 2:6. We trust God and His power, not us. And then second, as far as salvation is concerned, it's God's way. It's not the world's way. It is not our works or goodness. It is simply by faith. I think that's why I love Ephesians 2, 8, 9, because it's so clear. It is so clear. Even when a person says, but faith is a work. No, it's not. By grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of works. It's contrasting faith and works right there. They're not the same. Faith is not a work. You're saved by faith in Christ. Let me give you the two applications I think we've got. One is trust God in the battles of life, and that's what we got to know. You got to trust Him. Let's live according to the Word, not according to the world. It is so easy to be caught up in how the world wants to do things that we get swept up into that. We must trust God in the battles of life and trust Him and live according to the Word. Second, in the same truth, salvation is by faith, it's not by works. I pray for us this week that we'll have opportunities with Easter coming up. A lot of times you realize that there will be people come to church this Sunday, hopefully come to our church this Sunday, or a lot of churches this Sunday, there will be people who will come who that's the only time in a whole year that they usually come to church, ever. is because it's sort of a traditional thing, and a lot of families say, well, let's all go to church on Easter and all that. What I pray is that, first of all, that this Sunday from our church, we'll be very clear on what the gospel is and salvation and what the whole Easter is about, the death and resurrection of our Savior, and that you're saved by faith in Him. And I hope that maybe this week you'll have an opportunity to be able to tell people that salvation is a gift. It's not by our works or righteousness. It's simply by faith. So it's powerful. May we rest in God's salvation, not according to our works, but based on grace through faith. It's the gift of God. May we live for Him as we fight the battles of the world, not in our power, but in God's power. Let's pray. We'll open up for some questions. Heavenly Father, thank you for the passage. When we look at this, it's such great stories. And we thank you that we can see that your ways are not our ways, and we are thankful. And that the way of salvation is not the way we would do it. We try to be good, but we can't be, and we thank you for your gift. And Lord, when we think about life and the battles and how we live, sometimes we want to do things the way of the world, but the way of the Word is so much better. May we rest in you and live for you and trust you in the battles of life and as we proclaim the great truth of salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.